Now, with the latest from the world of technology, this is the Tech Guide Podcast with Stephen Fenwick.
I quite like the number of apps that are already available.
Tech Guide.
The iPad 2 still beats just about everything on the market. The new iPad has just kicked away even further.
Tech Guide.
I quite enjoyed using it. Great design. The operating system worked hand in hand with the hardware as well.
Keeping you updated and educated. This is the Tech Guide Podcast.
This is obviously a hot selling device.
Tech Guide.
You know, we want them to be light. We want them to be portable. And this one's very fast with i7 and i5 processors.
Now, from the studios of techguide.com.au, Stephen Fenwick.
Hello and welcome to Tech Guide episode 52. Thanks for listening and thanks for downloading. As always, it's great to have your company. My name is Stephen Fenwick and I'm the editor of techguide.com.au. And on this week's show, we're going to be talking about the new film based on the life of Steve Jobs, starring Ashton Kutcher. We're also going to look at Ford's technology advances in the car and also chat about Instagram introducing video sharing. In the Tech Guide reviews, we're talking about the new NVIDIA portable gaming system, the new range of Samsung Galaxy and ATIV products introduced in London last week, and also the BlackBerry Q10. And as usual, we'll wrap it up with the Tech Guide Help Desk. And it's all brought to you by our proud sponsors, Netgear, Australia's number one brand of home Wi-Fi products. Lots to get through right here on Tech Guide. Okay, let's kick it off with a brand new film that'll be in theatres in August, and it's about the life and times of the late Apple co-founder Steve Jobs. This has been around for quite a while. There's been well known that Ashton Kutcher, the actor, has played Steve Jobs, and from the trailer, which was the official trailer, which was released just a few days ago, and from even the preliminary pictures that came from the set of the film, he does bear a striking resemblance to Steve Jobs, especially in those early days back in the mid to late 70s when he was setting up the company with co-founder Steve Wozniak. The trailer includes a lot of interesting scenes from the film. We did see a snippet a few months ago, but this is the first official trailer from the film, and it does show the relationship between Wozniak and Jobs, that first time that Wozniak introduced him to the device that he was working on, which would later turn out to be the first Apple computer ever produced, and the way that their partnership grew, the attraction then from outside investors and the growth of the company, and the well-known result in the boardroom, which saw Steve Jobs actually sacked from his own company. And of course, his eventual return. So, we're very interested to see how this has been represented on the screen. The story about Steve Jobs and Apple is a very popular one. We've heard about how it was started in the garage. I think it's Steve Wozniak's parents' garage, and how the company has now become the most valuable company in the world. And that the credit for that is placed right at the feet of Steve Jobs, who has often been referred to as a visionary of his time. But the film is not the only Steve Jobs film being produced. There is another film backed by Sony Studios and being written as we speak by Aaron Sorkin, who is the creator of The West Wing, a favorite program of mine. He also won an Academy Award for Best Adapted Screenplay for The Social Network. So he's kind of become the go-to guy when it's adapting tech material for dramatic purposes on the big screen. It's said that the Aaron Sorkin version of the Steve Jobs film, which is based on the official biography by Walter Isaacson, centers around three key launches in Steve Jobs' career. The launch of the original Mac in 1984, the launch of the Next Computer, which is the company that he formed once he was sacked from Apple, and then the launch of the iPod, which is the product that the iconic product that sent Apple back on their way to a huge return to favor, the product that then heralded that return. So interesting to see how that's going to be structured. Aaron Sorkin's a very talented writer who has dazzled us with his work in the past. As I mentioned, The Social Network, The West Wing. He's currently got a program airing. The first season was aired last year. Second season kicks off in July of The Newsroom. So interesting to see how that one turns out, but also interesting to see Ashton Kutcher in action as Steve Jobs. No casting announcements yet for the second Jobs film, penned by Aaron Sorkin, but we'll be waiting in anticipation to see how that film turns out. I think anyone who's been interested in the tech story has been, and anyone who's obviously an Apple fan, Apple user, will be curious to see either or both of these films, I'd say. If you want to have a look at the trailer, I've actually put it on my story on techguide.com.au.
This is Tech Guide with Stephen Fenwick.
I was recently in Taipei for Computex as a guest of the Ford Motor Company, and back then they were announcing a new release called AppLink 2.0, which is basically a set of tools for developers for them to adapt their apps, or optimize their apps, I should say, to make them a lot easier to use within the car. So Ford have this toolkit, this API that will allow developers to then tap into things like voice control in the car and other instruments in the car, even information about the car, just to make it the optimal experience. Well, Ford are at it again with their technology announcements. It's good to see that a company is dedicated to really pushing the driving experience forward and helping the driver with advances in tech. And the latest is something they're calling the electronic brake light. Now, Ford has been experimenting for quite a while with car-to-car communications, and this isn't the sort of communication where you're gonna say g'day to the pretty woman at the traffic lights. This is a car-to-car communication, so that signals and instruments and that would talk to each other, even give up traffic information anonymously, of course. But this latest, the electronic brake light, utilizes that car-to-car communication so that you can one vehicle can transmit wirelessly a signal in the case of, say, an emergency braking situation to the cars behind it. So rather than you – brake lights are only – at the moment, brake lights are only useful if you can see them. But what happens if the cars that are braking suddenly are around a bend or around a corner and you can't see them yet? If you're alerted to that brake light being turned on when you can't see the car, in other words, around that corner, around that bend, then you're going to have a lot more time to brake and potentially avoid an accident. And that is kind of the theme behind this new development from Ford, and they've been testing it quite thoroughly in Frankfurt. They've tested it among 500 drivers and 120 vehicles, clocking up more than 41,000 hours and 1.6 million kilometres on public roads that have been logged. So a pretty thorough testing there, and they're seeing this as a potential new feature in their upcoming vehicles. It's been the car-to-car infrastructure and communications is one of the things that Ford are very proud of, are their advancements, and they see this as a boost to vehicle safety and a product that they're no doubt going to be seeing in future Ford models. They are working on other technologies using this car-to-car communication, and one of them is called public traffic management, which gathers traffic data from the vehicles themselves to help identify traffic scenarios. So if a lot of cars are slow at a certain point, there's obviously traffic. So rather than other cars only finding out that information once they get there, they have advanced knowledge of that information and potentially can avoid a traffic snarl and take another way. Another feature they're working on is in-car internet access. Well, everyone's saying, well, we've kind of got that already, but not that kind of internet access, which is basically through our phone. This is the car accessing the internet, and namely sort of information around you. So they could, for example, gather information about available parking spaces and even access up-to-date images from traffic cameras. So if you're on your journey, you can see the traffic flow based on an image from a traffic camera gathered from your internet connection, so you know exactly what the road ahead is going to look like, and again, not find that out when it's too late when you're there. So these kind of tools, I think, are going to be good for drivers to not only make them safer, but also make the driving experience a lot quicker, so avoiding traffic and just making traffic flow a lot faster. That's one bugbear, I think, for a lot of drivers is traffic seems to be getting worse. And, you know, anyone who's ever been caught in bad traffic will testify to that. Anything that can help them avoid that, I think they're going to welcome. And Ford know that. That's why they're working so hard on their new technology. You can read about more. You can read more about that story at techguide.com.au. Well, how popular is Instagram? So popular that Facebook paid $1 billion to own it. Now, Instagram is the for those of you who may have been living on the moon or in a cave, for those of you who don't know what Instagram is, it is a photo sharing app that allows you to apply filters and frames and various things to make your photos look a little bit better for you before you can share them. Now, up until now, it was only images you can share on the app, but as of a few days ago, Instagram or its owner, Facebook, activated a new feature which allows people to share video. Now, the videos can be up to 15 seconds long, and like the photos, you can add filters and make them look a little bit different in the same way, as I said, with your photos. So adding the 15-second video up to 15-second video, and then that is shared then along in your Instagram feed. Now, if you were to come across that, if you're looking through your feed, you may have noticed now that some images have a picture of a camera, a video camera, in the top right-hand corner. I've found that when you're scrolling through your Instagram feed and happen to rest on one of those images with a video embedded, the video starts playing on its own. And the sound can actually be quite frightening because you're not expecting sound to come out of Instagram because it's only just been pictures. But that now is part of the flow, part of your feed, people sharing videos. Now, this comes after Twitter introduced Vine, which is a company they acquired in January, which allows Twitter users to share 6-second videos that is then placed on a loop. So 6 seconds long on a loop. And when you do come across Vine in your Twitter feed, if you click on the link, you get the video, but with the sound automatically muted, just so that you don't get what's been happening on Twitter, this sudden burst of sound that can startle some people and maybe even the people around you. So Vine, by default, the sound is off, and then, of course, you can toggle it on and off as you please, and the video then just does a 6-second loop. Instagram has taken a leaf out of that book but offered longer play time, so we're talking up to 15 seconds. They don't have to be 15 seconds. They could be shorter if you want to. And offering that then to share with your friends and just give you yet another way to express yourself on social media. Now, Facebook have, as I said, acquired Instagram last year. They paid $1 billion, which is made up of stock and cash, so still $1 billion in the bank for Instagram's creators. But what they're talking about now is ways to monetize Instagram, ways to make money. They need to get this $1 billion investment. They need to recoup that kind of money. And the way they're going to do that is by adding some advertising, whether it could be a video ad in your feed, it could be pre-roll, maybe a couple of seconds of an ad before someone's video. We don't know what that's going to look like. But considering Instagram's a free app, I don't think people can really complain if their advertising does have to come through. It does have to make money. It is a business. Facebook, as I said, want to get that money back, make a profit. And advertising is probably the way to do it. Whether it is through video is yet to be seen, but time will tell. There's many more people download the Instagram app. It's very popular. Not everyone's loving the video feature, but it's good to know that it's there for those who do want to express themselves in video. This is Tech Guide.
Keeping you updated and educated. This is Tech Guide with Stephen Fenwick.
The Tech Guide podcast is proudly brought to you by Netgear. Netgear has a new ReadyNAS 100 series. Now, NAS is short for Network Attached Storage, and it is great if you think about the data that's flowing through your connected home. We've got photos, music, videos, and much, much more. And your data is both personal and precious, so you can make sure it's protected, organized, and most importantly, accessible. The Netgear ReadyNAS 100 series of home storage products deliver the protection you need easily and affordably. So now you can store your data and media content in your own private cloud. But not only can you access it from your home, you can access and share everything easily from any connected device in your home or remotely from anywhere around the world. So if you want to have a smart home, you need smart storage. So do yourself a favor and check out Netgear's ReadyNAS home storage solutions at netgear.com.au/home/ReadyNAS.
Tech Guide Now, a Tech Guide review with Stephen Fenwick.
I've already mentioned my recent trip to Computex in Taipei, and while I was there, it was another product I literally got my hands on. Now, it's not available here in Australia anytime soon. It's only gone on pre-order, in the US and Canada. It's going to be priced at $299. And what am I talking about? I'm talking about the NVIDIA Shield portable gaming device. Now, NVIDIA is a company we know. They make graphics processors and normal processors. So they're well known under the hood. Now they've come out of the hood with a new device, the NVIDIA Shield. Now, it's a new type of portable gaming system. It's running Android. And at first glance, it looks like a gaming console controller. Whether it's an Xbox, PlayStation, you know, the two handles, the thumbsticks and the buttons on either side. But there's one major difference. It has a flip-up 5-inch touchscreen that's got 720p high-definition resolution. Now, as I said, it's running Android Jelly Bean to be exact. And what it allows you to do is play all your exciting Android games but adds these tactile controls to take it to the next level. We've been used to playing these Android games on tablets, on smartphones, on devices that don't have physical controls. Now, imagine the playability, the control you have on your gaming console and the new and exciting apps and titles anywhere. So it's kind of like taking your Xbox or PlayStation with you when you go out. So imagine playing first-person shooters and other sophisticated games that don't quite work on the current generation of portable gaming consoles, but work great when you're in front of your TV with your proper controller. Well, this offers that. It offers the portability and that full tactile control. So you can imagine the types of high-quality games we can expect on the go with this type of product. It's got a Tegra quad-core mobile processor underneath, NVIDIA, of course, processor. And it's also got 2 gig of RAM, which is a very generous amount of RAM because you want to keep this thing flowing fast so your games are very responsive. It's also got built-in Wi-Fi so that you can stream games if you have to, maybe connect to other devices. And there's a range of games that have already been optimized for the NVIDIA Shield and which can be accessed from the NVIDIA Tegra Zone, which is part of the Android Play Store. And some impressive titles, including a Grand Theft Auto title, Grand Theft Auto Vice City. There's also a boxing game, another shoot 'em up games, and other puzzle games as well. So there's some images on my story on Tech Guide that I've actually taken that I had a bit of a hands-on with the device when I was at Computex. It's quite fast. It's very responsive. And as I said, looks kind of like an Xbox controller, but with that lovely 5-inch flip-up screen, it's going to totally change the portable gaming experience. Only on offer to the US and Canada at the moment. It's going to be priced at US dollars, $299, due to ship by the end of June. So no word yet on when and if it is going to come to Australia, but I'm sure there may be some people who are in the US maybe want to bring one home and show it off to their friends. If you want to read more about the NVIDIA Shield and even see a short video as well as the photos that I took at Computex, you can read it at techguide.com.au. Well, Samsung held quite a large event in London last week. I wasn't lucky enough to be on that trip, but I did hear all about it, and it was quite an event. It was an event to announce a whole new range of Galaxy devices, which are Samsung's Android-powered products, as well as some ATIV products, which are the Windows 8-powered devices, like tablets and laptops and things. So a lot of products they announced. Let's start with the Galaxy products. Now, we did see earlier this year the Galaxy S4. They've extended the Galaxy family to some other products. The Galaxy S4 Active is the first, and as its name suggests, it's meant for the outdoorsy people who want to have a phone that doesn't compromise their outdoor activity. So, in other words, it's waterproof and dustproof, shockproof. Still got the same specs as the Galaxy S4, the 5-inch screen, high-def screen, 16 gig of internal storage, expandable micro SD card slot, NFC, but it is waterproof, shockproof, and available in three different colors: gray, orange, and blue. So that's the Active Galaxy S4 Active. Galaxy S4 Mini is another product. So, and as its name also suggests, it is a smaller version of the Galaxy S4. The Galaxy S4 has got a 5-inch screen. The S4 Mini has a 4.3-inch screen. Still has the same HD Super AMOLED display. Got a 1.7 gigahertz dual core processor, 1.5 gig of RAM, 8 gig of internal storage, and an 8 megapixel camera. So it's kind of the mini-me of the Galaxy S4. So if you want a cheaper, sort of more an entry-level version of that product, the Galaxy S4 Mini is the one for you. Moving on to the Galaxy S4 Zoom. Now, this is a camera and a smartphone in one. The previous Galaxy camera offered the Android connectivity with Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, but didn't allow you to make calls. You could, I suppose, using a data connection, but the Galaxy S4 Mini, it is a fully-fledged smartphone as well as a fully-fledged digital camera in one. On the camera side, it's got a 16-megapixel sensor, 10x optical zoom, optical image stabilizer, and a Xenon flash. And on the phone side, it's got Android, Jelly Bean, and call-making capabilities. It's also got a feature called in-call share, which means you can take a photo during a call and send it to the person you're talking to. Pretty cool. Another camera in the range is the Galaxy NX, which is run by Galaxy. So it's got Android on there. Sorry, not run by Galaxy, run by Android. It's got Android Jelly Bean on board. But it has interchangeable lenses. So it's a digital SLR merged with a smartphone. So it has that connectivity, 20.3 megapixel sensor, 4.8 inch high def screen on the back, 1.6 gigahertz quad core processor, the world's first connected interchangeable lens camera. These the Galaxy NX. Moving along to the ATIV range, there are a few products named in this range. So I'll go through them very quickly. First is the ATIV Q. Now, this is a kind of a convertible device, let's call it. So at first glance, looks like a tablet. Flick of the screen turns it into a laptop. It's got a 13.3-inch display. It's got several viewing positions, so you can rest the screen up higher for reading. You can rest it so it looks like a laptop. You can turn it back around again to be a tablet again. So plenty of uses for this device, the ATIV Q. It's also got an S Pen, so you can draw directly on the screen. ATIV Tab 3 is the world's thinnest Windows 8 tablet. So it looks like the Galaxy Tab and Galaxy Note devices. They've got that white finish, but one running Windows 8 on its 10.1-inch screen, I should say. The ATIV Book 9 Plus is the sleek ultrabook running Windows 8. It's got a thickness of only 13.6 millimetres, which is very svelte, and it weighs only 1.39 kilograms. But the most important thing of all, it's got a 12-hour battery and also has the same touchscreen 13.3-inch display as the ATIV Q. There's also an entry-level ATIV Book 9 Lite, which is offers virtually every feature of the Book 9 Plus, except it doesn't quite have the metallic and high-end materials, so it's slightly thicker, 16.9 millimeters thick, but it comes in three colors: white, black, and red. Lastly, there's the ATIV One 5 Style, which is the Samsung's desktop Windows 8 touchscreen device. Looks like a Galaxy S4 on its side and sat on a desktop with a wireless keyboard, wireless mouse. It's also got a feature called Home Sync Lite. So if you've got other Samsung products, this computer turns into a bit of a cloud storage system to back up all your other products and access your You may have photos that you've taken on your phone. You can then view them on your computer and on your tablet, things like that. It's quite a sleek device too. At its thickest point, it's only 26.9 millimeters thick. So that is the ATIV and Galaxy range. Keep an eye out on all of those products. They'll be in Australia, I think, in the third quarter. And you can see some pictures as well as read all about them at techguide.com.au. Well, there is a new BlackBerry hitting the market in early July. I think Telstra and Optus have already announced the fact that they're going to stock the BlackBerry Q10. Now, you remember earlier this year we were talking about the Z10, which was the touchscreen device. There were no buttons. That famous keyboard was missing on the Z10. Well, for those who maybe have a bit of separation anxiety from the keyboard, good news is the BlackBerry Q10 is now available, will be available, but it does bring in that familiar physical keyboard, a feature that BlackBerry has been famous for and a feature that has probably kept a lot of users within the BlackBerry ecosystem. They're so used to having those keys under their fingers. They haven't really got into the touchscreen mode. Typing on glass is not something for them. And this type of device is something that's going to keep these users within that ecosystem. The design, rather than having a slight curve to the keyboard, it's very straight. But it's got the full QWERTY keyboard, very tactile, so if you can really zip through your messages and emails using those physical keys. It does also have, though, a 3.1-inch touchscreen, so all the functionality that you expect on the Z10, which is all touchscreen, can also be performed on the Q10, so you can still swipe to the left, get into the BlackBerry Hub, touch the screen to activate different apps, as well as navigating using the keyboard, and of course, typing using that valuable keyboard. Now, the Q10 will be in store, as I said, I think from July the 2nd, and it's priced at $729.95 from Moby City, but it can also be available on plan from Telstra and Optus. You can read our review at techguide.com.au.
Now, answering all your tech questions, the Tech Guide Help Desk.
Now, our help desk question this week actually comes from a reader. I did mention the fact that we run our forum at techguide.com.au, and this actually came through not from the forum but from an email. So you can also email us at info@techguide.com.au. And this, it was an interesting email that came from a reader who was asking if you can add the date and time imprint on their photos. This is something that you may recall from our older, even like dedicated digital cameras and even the old film cameras. It used to put that automatic time stamp on your picture so you knew exactly what time it was taken and what date it was taken. A great way to remember the photographs you've taken. Now, a very valid question from our reader asking, can we do that to our smartphones? And the answer is yes. There are a number of apps that can put the date and time on it, whether you're using an iPhone or Android. On the iPhone, there are several apps. Three that come to mind are Date Stamp, another one called Photo Date, and a third called Data, D-A-T-E-R. And they, as their name suggests, add that little date stamp. You can choose which corner, left, top right, bottom left, bottom right, and even the format that it goes in. So do you want day, month, year, or month, day, year, as they do in the US? And also gives you the time if you want to include that as well. Also several handfuls of apps also in Android in the Play Store also. It should be pointed out too that the devices also can geolocate your images too. That's a feature that's built into a lot of smartphones where you can actually give your photo a location. So you can sort them by location. In the iPhone does that as well, as does the most Android phones too. So you can also put a location with your pictures, and with the addition of these apps, also add the date and the time, because we always want to remember where we took our photos. And that's all we've got time for this week. Of course, you can read about everything you've heard in this episode on our website, techguide.com.au, and you can get in touch, as our last help desk contributor did, info@techguide.com.au, and also you can send in your help desk questions to the Tech Guide Forum, where either myself or our many readers can jump in and give you the answers you're looking for. Thanks, too, to our sponsors, Netgear, the brand you can trust for all your Wi-Fi needs. Thanks for listening. It's been great to have your company. We look forward to catching up with you again next week. So in the meantime, as we always say, stay safe and stay connected.